Welcome to NP Certification Q&A, presented by Fitzgerald Health Education Associates. This podcast is for NP students studying to pass their NP certification exam. Getting to the correct test answers means breaking down the exam questions themselves. Leading NP expert Dr. Margaret Fitzgerald shares her knowledge and experience to help you dissect the anatomy of a test question so you can better understand how to arrive at the correct test answer. So if you're ready, let's jump right in.
Joseph is a 14-year-old, generally well and up to date with health maintenance, who presents for a sick visit today with a 36-hour history of gradual onset of nausea, vomiting, and loose stools, reporting, quote, "I'm not sure how many times I threw up or had diarrhea," close quote. He last vomited about 4 hours ago, and his last stool was around 2 hours ago. His stool is reported as yellow-brown in color, small volume, and without blood. He's been tolerating sips of clear liquids for the past 3 hours and has voided a small amount about 2 hours ago. Joseph reports that he is on his high school wrestling team and that, quote, "For the past week, one guy after another has had this same thing," close quote. Vital signs are within normal limits and his mucous membranes are slightly dry. The most likely cause of Joseph's clinical condition is A, staphylococcal food poisoning, B, Clostridium difficile enteritis, C, viral gastroenteritis, D, gastric ulcer. The correct answer is C, viral gastroenteritis. Where should we start? First, what kind of question this is. We're being asked to figure out what's causing Joseph's signs and symptoms. Therefore, this is a differential diagnosis or just a diagnosis question. A bit of background to start. With viral gastroenteritis, it's one of the most common reasons for an episodic sick visit in an otherwise well person. That's the scenario we have here. A number of viruses are implicated in this condition, including rotavirus, norovirus, adenovirus, and a few others. Norovirus, of course, has been estimated to cause upwards to 90% of all the cases of viral gastroenteritis seen in North America. Most of these are transmitted via the fecal-oral route, including contaminated food, contaminated water. The virus can also be transmitted via exposure to vomitus and through select fomites, and perhaps even airborne. Quite often, you'll hear about a cluster of individuals within a family or a group with similar signs and symptoms. That's exactly what we have here, with Joseph telling us his teammates have been getting sick over the past week, quote, one after another, period. That gives you an idea that they all didn't get sick at the exact same time, which is far more consistent with something like staph food poisoning, where a bunch of people eat the same food, then they all get sick within a few hours of one another. But when you hear of a number of people getting sick over a number of days, so maybe if, let's just say, 8 people on his wrestling team have come down with this, one comes down with it on Monday, and then 3 come down with it on Tuesday, and 2 more come down with it on Thursday, and then 1 more gets it on Friday, that type of thing. That is the scenario with an infectious disease that is transmitted person to person in a small group. And when you think about it, he's on the wrestling team. There are very few sports where the contact with another human being is as close as it is in wrestling. With viral gastroenteritis, characterized by symptoms and signs such as nausea, vomiting, loose stools that tend to come on gradually over 1 to 2 days, persist for a few days, and then begin to resolve. But sometimes you will see it where the signs and symptoms come on pretty quickly over just a few hours. A colloquial name for viral gastroenteritis is, quote, the 24-hour stomach flu, close quote. I'm not really happy with anything being called the flu other than influenza. But this gives you an idea that most people do start to feel better within 24 hours of the onset of symptoms. And that's really what we have here with Joseph. He's been sick for about a day and a half. And what you're hearing is actually hasn't vomited for a few hours, and he's not stooled for a couple of hours. And he's actually now keeping down some fluids, and he recently urinated. All of those are hopeful signs that he's actually on the mend. Viral gastroenteritis is a clinical diagnosis where no special testing is needed. I'm going to tackle the subject of treating viral gastroenteritis in a person presenting like Joseph in another Q&A, but let's get back to why it is viral gastroenteritis and not any of our other choices. To repeat the question, Joseph is a 14-year-old generally well and up to date with health maintenance who presents for a sick visit today with a 36-hour history of gradual onset nausea, vomiting, and loose stools, reporting, quote, "I'm not sure how many times I threw up or had diarrhea," close quote. He last vomited about 4 hours ago. Last stool was about 2 hours ago, reported as yellow-brown in color, small volume, and without blood. He's been tolerating sips of clear liquids for the past 3 hours and has avoided a small amount about 2 hours ago. Joseph reports that he's on the wrestling team at his high school and that, quote, "For the past week, one guy after another has had the same thing," close quote. Vital signs are within normal limits and his mucous membranes are slightly dry. The most likely cause of Joseph's clinical condition is A, Staphylococcus food poisoning. This is incorrect. In food poisoning caused by Staphylococcus aureus, the signs and symptoms are a result of an enterotoxin that the organism produces. Its origin is invariably from a single source of food that has not been handled properly, and the Staph aureus has been allowed to proliferate. One of the characteristics of Staph food poisoning is the incredibly rapid onset of symptoms that usually occur 1.5 to 8 hours after the ingestion of the problematic food. The clinical presentation is quite similar to viral gastroenteritis because it includes fever, significant abdominal cramping, nausea, vomiting, and some stooling. And if this was Staph food poisoning, what we probably would have heard from Joseph is that he and his teammates all ate the same food, and then between 1.5 and 8 hours later, they all got sick around the same time. But of course, Joseph is telling us that his teammates have become sick over the past week. I've mentioned this in other podcasts, but one of the reasons why having an exact timing of the history of an episodic illness like this and to find out if other people around the individual have had similar signs and symptoms and in what time period, it's simply critical to your differential diagnosis. Another part, Staph food poisoning, it's more upper GI than lower GI, so a lot more vomiting than there is stooling. And we see almost like a balance of the two for the most part with viral gastroenteritis, both vomiting and stooling. B, Clostridium difficile enteritis. C. diff, the dreaded C. diff. Of course, this is not correct. Do we see C. diff out in the community? Because, you know, let's face it, most of you on this podcast are learning to be family or adult gero primary care NPs. In other words, being prepared in the outpatient primary care role. But the vast majority of you have come from the acute care setting. So in the acute care setting, of course, unfortunately, C. diff is alive and well. So now that you're transitioning to thinking like an outpatient provider rather than inpatient provider, should we kind of sort of leave C. diff in the rearview mirror and not think about it? Oh, no. We do see it out in the community, but not nearly as often as you might see in the inpatient setting or long-term care facility. But regardless of where you see C. diff, usually there's a history of some kind of a trigger for it, like recent antimicrobial use. That's because all the antimicrobials, doesn't matter which one it is, all have the potential to alter gut flora, and C. diff that was already in the gut is allowed to proliferate. There's nothing here that mentions that Joseph recently took an antibiotic. And if something is not mentioned in a question, then it was not important to coming up with the differential. The other part is C. diff disease is usually lower and not upper GI. And Joseph has been doing a lot of vomiting. Option C, viral gastroenteritis. This is, of course, the correct answer. Option D, gastric ulcer. This is also incorrect. This is a condition usually seen in older adults, and I often call gastric ulcer a disease of too much. Too many NSAIDs, too much alcohol, too much stress, and is usually correlated with mild nausea, with food ingestion, dyspepsia, but not vomiting and not lower GI symptoms. Usually the person with gastric ulcer will also present after having a number of weeks, if not months, of symptoms, and there will be some kind of an identifiable risk factor. Key takeaway, knowing who is most at risk for a particular condition in urgent care setting and how that condition will have been transmitted if infectious in origin, and how the disease unfolds is critical to arriving at the appropriate diagnosis.
Thank you for listening to NP Certification Q&A, presented by Fitzgerald Health Education Associates. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. And for more NP resources, visit FHEA.com.